Now today our study takes us into chapter 25 of the Acts of the Apostles. Those of you who are regular daily listeners will be following through, and I trust you get time to read the chapter at home. For this chapter is the record of another episode in the life history of Paul, which moves him nearer to the time when he would reach the city of Rome and testify in that great city. Now let me read the first six verses to begin with, chapter 25. Now when Festus was come into the province, after 3 days he ascended from Caesarea to Jerusalem. Then the high priest and the chief of the Jews informed him against Paul and besought him, and desired favour against him, that he would send for him to Jerusalem, laying wait in the way to kill him. But Festus answered that Paul should be kept at Caesarea, that he himself would depart shortly thither. Let them therefore, said he, which among you are able, go down with me and accuse this man, if there be any wickedness in him. And when he had tarried among them more than 10 days, he went down unto Caesarea, and the next day, sitting on the judgment seat, commanded Paul to be brought. Now let us stop there for a moment or two and get this background to the new accusations that were being laid against Paul. Here we have a change in the political circumstances. Now often when you have a change in politics, it changes many other things in a country. Now a change of governor would cause Paul to consider the past without harsh judgment, for he would know that previous governors would ultimately be judged by the supreme judge. Neither would he ascribe to any of them any undue praise or glory, because it was evident to him that the glory of earthly things must pass away. Now the change would also cause him to think of the future, but no doubt he would not be moved by any extravagant hopes or be overcome with fresh fear. He knew that God's purposes would be fulfilled in his life. Now it's a good thing when the people of God can rest with absolute confidence in the movements of God. Even a change in politics should not upset the child of God. Now suppose you had been in Paul's position at that time, and there was a change of governor. Now remember, governors were not chosen in these days the same way as they're chosen today. Governors today are put in this country by the vote of the people. But remember, at that time, they were under the rule of Rome. It was military rule and political rule governed from the great city of Rome. And Caesar was the chief ruler. It was he who would decide who would be governor in the certain areas. So the time had come for a change. The man before whom Paul had already borne witness, that was Felix, has been removed. And this man called Festus has come in his place. Now, it's quite evident that when Festus came to Caesarea, he decided to go up on a visit to Jerusalem. Now, look at it this way. If a man is sent from the United States, we'll say, and he's going over as the representative to another country, or suppose someone is coming from another country, from some European country, or some other place, and he's coming into the United States and he's going to be the ambassador. Well, now he'll have to show his credentials when he arrives, and he'll require to get acquainted with his equals in the country where he comes to. Likewise, I suggest that he was Festus, and he's sent over to be the governor, and he's going to have his headquarters in the city of Caesarea. But he decides to go up to Jerusalem, no doubt, to get acquainted with other rulers and to present his qualifications. And so up he goes, and while he was there, the high priest and the chief of the Jews informed him against Paul. Isn't a strange thing? They've never forgot this man. After about 2 years, they're still out to get him. And so they get with the new governor. Perhaps they thought, if they couldn't influence the other governor who has left, they might be able to influence the new man. And so they get with him, and they tell him their case against Paul. And now watch the subtlety of the whole case. They say, while you're in Jerusalem, why don't you send someone up there to bring him down here, and we'll have the case heard here. But somehow or another, God again overrules, and the new governor says, no, you can go back with me to Caesarea, and we'll hear the case in Caesarea. And so therefore, they're going to have the case all over again. Now, you'll notice then that there's the renewed charge by the enemies. And they're going to plead their case here. The charge are renewed. It's a fresh attempt to have Paul brought back to Jerusalem. But again, I draw your attention to the fact the governor evaded this trap but arranged for a retrial in Caesarea. So when you come to verse 7, you have the reopened case, this time heard before the new governor called Festus. There appears to be four stages in this momentous hearing. Let us read how they're presented to us in this chapter. And when he was come, the Jews which came down from Jerusalem stood round about and laid many and grievous complaints against Paul, which they could not prove. While he answered for himself, neither against the law of the Jews, neither against the temple, nor yet against Caesar have I offended anything at all. But Festus, willing to do the Jews a pleasure, answered Paul and said, wilt thou go up to Jerusalem, and there be judged of these things before me? Then said Paul, I stand at Caesar's judgment seat, where I ought to be judged. To the Jews have I done no wrong, as thou very well knowest. For if I be an offender, or have committed anything worthy of death, I refuse not to die. But if there be none of these things whereof these accuse me, no man may deliver me unto them. I appeal unto Caesar. Then Festus, when he had conferred with the council, answered, hast thou appealed unto Caesar? Unto Caesar shalt thou go. Now I want you to notice what took place at this particular time. It's most interesting. For this again is a very definite link in the chain of events that's going to lead to Paul going to Rome. Now let me say this. A lot of people have come to this section here, this particular passage in chapter 25, and again they've blamed Paul. They've said that Paul had no right to appeal to Caesar, because later on you'll discover this, that if he had not appealed to Caesar, then Agrippa said he could have been set at liberty. However, notice what's the situation right here. First of all, the accusations made by Paul's enemies. Now that's put before us here in a very terse statements. They simply spoke against him with grievous complaints, which they could not prove. It's easy to make complaints against any person, but if you can't prove them, what's going to happen? And so his accusers lay their complaints before the new governor, but the verse says here, which they could not prove. And then the second movement is the answer given by Paul to the accusations. Notice how he answers his accusers. He says, neither against the law of the Jews, neither against the temple, nor yet against Caesar, have I offended anything at all. Now it's obvious from what Paul says here in giving his answer that the accusations they laid against him were simply the old things and presented anew. But then Paul says, I am not guilty of these things. But now there's a suggestion made by Festus. You know, these fellows who get into top positions, they've got a strange way of trying to carry favor with every side. Now, Festus would know perfectly well that Paul was innocent, that his accusers never brought any evidence to prove their case, so he should have said, all right, the verdict is not guilty. But that would not have pleased the people who came down from Jerusalem, such as the high priest and the others. But this man, Festus, being the new governor, he wants to carry favor with these people. At the same time, he's got to be careful lest he makes a wrong judgment and gets himself into trouble with his superiors. But verse 9 says, willing to do the Jews a pleasure, plain words, willing to carry favor with these people. Although he knew they were wrong, he still wanted their support. So therefore, he's willing to carry favor with them. He says to Paul, wilt thou go up to Jerusalem and there be judged of these things before me? Plain words, he makes Paul an offer. He said, look, I'm the new governor, so to speak. I'm willing to have another case held again, and we could go up to Jerusalem where these men come from, and we could go up there and have the new case, have it reopened, and if you're willing, this time I'll go and I'll be the judge. Well, now that seemed all right in the face of it. It was a trick. You see, to do this, it would carry favor with the Jews. And this man perhaps thought that if he got to Jerusalem and held the case there, it would put him, as it were, in good favor with all the people. But Paul realized what was behind this suggestion, because he knew that before, when they wanted them to be taken to Jerusalem, because if they got him there, there were those that were going to lie in wait by the way and kill him before ever he got to the place of the trial. So therefore, Paul says, no, I've done nothing against the Jews, done no wrong to them whatsoever. And he says, as thou very well knowest, if I was an offender and was guilty of death, I wouldn't be afraid to die if it was necessary. I wouldn't refuse to take the punishment if I'd done anything that's wrong. But you may not deliver me unto them, for the simple reason I appeal to Caesar. Now remember, while Paul by birth was a Jew, and by the way, the culture under which he was raised, he was a Pharisee of the Pharisee from a religious point of view. But remember also, he had Roman citizenship, born free. His father must have been a Jew of the dispersion and had citizenship. And when Paul was born, he was born free. So he claimed Roman citizenship. All right, he said, I appeal to Caesar. Therefore, he made his appeal to Caesar. Now, this is where some folk have condemned Paul. They said, why did he appeal to Caesar? Well, I'll ask you something. Suppose he hadn't appealed to Caesar. Suppose he had said, yes, I'll go up to Jerusalem. No one would have known what would happen. Paul knew that he was to go to Rome. He knew that. The Lord said he would take him to Rome and he would be able to bear his witness there, bear testimony there. But on this occasion, he appealed to Caesar. Now then, Festus, the governor, who had been the judge here, said, all right, you've appealed to Caesar, unto Caesar shalt thou go. So therefore, the case was reopened, the case was heard, so to speak, the accuser spoke, Paul answered, and the outcome now is, he has appealed to Caesar, and the case will not be heard again, as it were, until he arrives in Rome. But in the closing verses of this chapter, a very strange thing takes place. Now, notice again verse 13. And after certain days, King Agrippa and Bernice came unto Caesarea to salute Festus. You see, the whole thing is that here is a man who comes into the new place, and another ruler called King Agrippa decides to pay him a courtesy visit. So down he comes to Caesarea to salute Festus. When they had been there many days, Festus declared Paul's cause unto the king, saying, "There is a certain man left in bonds by Felix." That is, the former governor left him here, and I'm left with the responsibility. "About whom, when I was at Jerusalem, the chief priests and the elders of the Jews informed me, desiring to have judgment against him. To whom I answered, 'It is not the manner of the Romans to deliver any man to die, before that he which is accused have the accusers face to face and have license to answer for himself concerning the crime laid against him.' Therefore, when they were come hither, without any delay on the morrow, I sat on the judgment seat and commanded the man to be brought forth, against whom, when the accusers stood up, they brought none accusations of such things as I supposed, but certain questions against him of their own superstition," that is, of their own religion, "and of one Jesus, which was dead, whom Paul affirmed to be alive. Because I doubted of such manner of questions, I asked him whether he would go to Jerusalem and there be judged of these matters. But when Paul had appealed to be reserved unto the hearing of Augustus, I commanded him to be kept till I might send him to Caesar." Now, I want you to notice that this report is a mixture of plausible excuses, and while it contains some truth, there appears to be a spirit of indifference manifested by some, curiosity by others, but we ought to take note of the fact that no human court can judge a man for the faith he exercises in God. So Festus makes his report to Agrippa. That being so, Agrippa listens to this report, and listens to it, no doubt, with great interest, and then he's got to answer. When he listened to what the governor told him about Paul appealing to be reserved in his hearing to go before Caesar, Agrippa then speaks. Then Agrippa said unto Festus, "I would also hear the man myself." "Tomorrow," said he, "thou shalt hear him." And on the morrow, when Agrippa was come, and Bernice with great pomp, and was entered into the place of hearing with the chief captains and principal men of the city, at Festus' commandment, Paul was brought forth. And Festus said, "King Agrippa, and all men which are here present with us, ye see this man, about whom all the multitude of the Jews have dealt with me, both at Jerusalem and also here, crying that he ought not to live any longer. When I found that he had committed nothing worthy of death, that he himself had appealed to Augustus, I have determined to send him, of whom I have no certain thing to write unto my Lord. Wherefore I have brought him forth before you, and especially before thee, O King Agrippa, that after examination had, I might have somewhat to write, for it seemeth to me unreasonable to send a prisoner, and not withal to signify the crimes laid against him." Oh, how interesting. Notice, this was a momentous occasion so far as Paul's life was concerned. And from the human point of view, some might consider that Paul greatly erred. But viewed from the divine point of view, it was the outworking of the purpose of God in the life of Paul. This would move him on toward Rome, where he would bear his witness to the unsaved and write some wonderful letters to Christians, which have been preserved for us and are known as the prison epistles. But now I want you to notice how these men in high places camouflage a great amount of truth. But here was a man who occupied a place of power, a place of authority. Festus was governor. Here is a visit from King Agrippa. King Agrippa comes with this woman who journeyed with him, and they are going to listen to what Festus has to say first, then they're going to listen to what Paul has to say. But notice the predicament that Festus is in. It's perfectly true he occupied the place of being governor, but he's faced with difficulties. Now then, he cannot send man to Jerusalem to be judged there. He cannot wash his hands clean and say, I've got nothing to do with this, because the man's a prisoner of Rome, and they can't hand him over to the Jews. Paul has appealed to Caesar, and therefore to Caesar he must go. But how can Festus possibly send a man to Rome unless he sends a letter stating in the letter what the crime is that the man's committed or what he is accused of? So he decides now that he's able to get out of this predicament by allowing Paul to speak before King Agrippa, believing that King Agrippa and Bernice have a better understanding of these Jewish traditions and has a better understanding of the Christian gospel, and if they will listen to what Paul has to say, then perhaps he'll be able to make some suggestions to Festus as to what he can put in his letter. So therefore, you see, it's like passing the buck, as they used to say. Felix has got rid of the difficulty. He has been removed out of office. Festus comes into office. He's faced with the difficulty. Now he says, here's a man who's superior to me. Here's King Agrippa. I'll let him listen to the case. Then he'll give me some advice as to what I can state on my letter as I send this man to Rome. You see, my friend, it's so easy for people to try and camouflage the truth, especially when it comes to eternal issues. When it comes to these things, people will try everything within their power to relieve themselves of responsibility. But might I say this, that here is something we've got to face sooner or later. These men are faced with a tremendous issue. Paul, the great apostle, has been brought face to face with these men. Oh, it's perfectly true, he has preached in the marketplaces. It is equally true, he has preached in the synagogues. He has preached to people of all classes. But now, here he's bearing his witness before the rulers. He has borne his witness before the chief priests. He has borne his witness before the elders. He has borne witness before Felix the governor. He's bearing witness before Festus the new governor. He's going to bear witness in the next chapter before King Agrippa. You see, God has brought him into the situation where he's able to bear his testimony to those in high places, and they cannot evade the issue. They've got to listen to the message, and it's between them and their God whether they will repent and accept the message of salvation as presented in Jesus Christ, or will they close their ears to the gospel and turn away from the offer of salvation. Likewise, my friend, what about you? May I ask every listener today, since God moves in the circumstances of men's lives, and he brings us to the point where we've got to listen to the truth of God, then we'll be called upon to answer to God as to whether we accept the truth and accept Jesus Christ, or whether we turn our ears away from the truth and turn our backs on God and continue in the path of sin.